Welcome to EDUCAUSE Now. I'm Jerry Bain. The 2010 EDUCAUSE Current Issues Survey is being released today. On this edition of EDUCAUSE Now, we'll bring you an interview with the Current Issues Chair, Brett Ingerman. He'll share his thoughts on this year's list. We'll also give you some collected tips for running a successful online learning program. Stick around. The 2010 Current Issue Survey gathered responses from 421 primary representatives of EDUCAUSE member institutions, usually CIOs, representing colleges and universities of all types and sizes, public and private, community colleges through research universities. You can find the list at www.educause.edu/2010issues resources. I recently spoke with Brett Ingerman, Vice President of Computing and Information Services at Vassar College and Chair for the 2010 edition of the Current Issues Survey. I started by asking Brett, what were some of the issues that topped this year's list, and how does he think they reflect the present state of higher ed IT?
You know, it's an interesting question. What we discovered is that pretty much all of the issues from last year are back this year. And so those include things in order of funding IT, administrative ERP information systems, security, teaching and learning, identity access management, et cetera, et cetera. But what we've come up with is that what's so different this year is not necessarily the issues themselves, but the climate in which we're each struggling to identify and address the concerns that relate to each of these issues. Because there have been some fundamental changes in higher education in the last couple of years, and the issues now take on a different kind of feel in that kind of an environment than they may have last year or even the year before.
So how can higher ed IT leaders use this list to help them over the next year? What's your advice for them?
So my advice would be for those that look at the list, and we hope that it's used by more than just IT leaders. We actually hope that it's used by other institutional leaders as well as others within the IT organizations themselves, that really these items become a starting point for conversations on a campus. Indeed, that's what the committee tries to do. When we write the article, the goal is to come up with a list of questions that hopefully will cause a conversation to occur that by necessity is going to be idiosyncratic to the particular institution where the conversation is occurring. The goal of all of this, what I hope that my colleagues take away and that others who look at this list take away, is that these are the topics that we think are important, but how they're important to their institution, how their institution would go about addressing some of these issues or discussing some of these issues, and even some of the relative rankings may be slightly different, but we hope that each institution takes this list and starts to have some conversations about it, because now more than ever, with limited resources and a renewed examination of the services we're all providing, now is the time to be talking about these issues.
We talked about how it's the same. How is the list different this year?
Well, some of the things that's different is the article itself focuses on the issues of strategic importance, sort of the top 10 that the membership believes are important. What I think is somewhat interesting is the other questions that we ask when we do the survey. So, for example, we also ask, what are the issues that have the potential to become most significant over the upcoming year, the issues that consume most of a CIO's time, and indeed the issues that consume the most financial and human resources. And it's the interplay between the list that I think is interesting this year. For example, strategic importance. Nothing on the list of strategic importance deals with outsourcing or co-sourcing or crowdsourcing or the idea of, you know, looking outside of the institution. Yet, when asked what are the top 10 issues with the potential to become most significant, outsourcing, insourcing, co-sourcing, and crowdsourcing was number 3 on the list. So clearly, while it hasn't penetrated the list of strategic importance yet, it's poised to do so. Same with IT assessment and benchmarking. Those also haven't made the list of strategic importance, but they're definitely on the list of the potential to become more significant. The other things we find when we look at the list is that there are things that are consuming significant amount of a CIO's time that the CIOs themselves are saying are not necessarily of strategic importance. And by that, I'd say governance, organizational management and leadership, and strategic planning are on the list for strategic importance, but they're lower down. So they're high on the list of consuming time, but low on the list allocated as strategic importance. And interestingly, consuming a good deal of a CIO's time, collaboration, partnerships, and building relationships is on that list, but didn't make it to the list of strategic importance. And I would suggest that in all of our futures, I think relationships relationship building is certainly something that's going to grow and become increasingly important as we collaborate to address these issues.
How do you think the current surge of online, for-profit, and unbundled education is reflected in this list?
You know, I think these are issues that are important to anyone who needs to provide an IT infrastructure in the support of teaching and learning. I think some of these issues could be much more relevant to those providing online education, because for example, security may be a much higher issue, or identity and access management may be even more pressing than for those of us on a residential liberal arts campus. So I think the issues may be the same, but as I said earlier, I think it's the relative ranking of the issues that may change, or how much time and energy needs to be devoted to answering some of these questions may differ depending on what type of environment one is in when they're looking at it.
Could you comment on how the changing face of higher ed is affecting IT leaders?
You know, it's funny. People ask, is it an evolution or a revolution? I think it's kind of neither. I think it's a reexamination of the services that we are providing, both as an overall institution. So how are we delivering our educational services to our students? How do we measure that? How are we evaluating that? But also, I think within the institution, each entity and organization is asking the same questions of how do they provide services that support the overall mission of the institution. So I think the last couple of years have really caused an opportunity for conversation within the institution about what's important to us, and how do we now provide an environment that meets those goals? And then as you drill down within the institution, how do each of our organizations, such as IT, respond to provide services and support those issues that the institution is now reexamining and refocusing on?
Brett Ingerman, chair of the 2010 Current Issues Survey, featured in the latest issue of EDUCAUSE Review magazine. There are many approaches to creating and maintaining a successful online learning program. In the past year, we've interviewed several online teaching professionals with a wealth of advice. In this piece, we reflect on a few of those words of wisdom for online teaching. Included in this discussion is Tanya Justin, Interim Associate Director for the Learning Technology Center at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, Robert Morgan, Director of Distance Learning at Southeast Community College, Kelvin Bentley, Director of Online Learning at Northampton Community College, Kathleen Seville, Director of the MU Online Design Center at Marshall University, and Shannon Field, Instructional Designer for Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, Prescott Campus.
So one of the first considerations is thinking about what learning objectives and activities could be best accomplished online. And a lot of times those may be more didactic type activities like content delivery, assessment of content delivery, and so forth.
Whatever we offer in the classroom needs to be duplicated online with no fall off of quality. It is the exact same syllabus. It is the exact same learning outcomes. It is the exact same strategies of where that student needs to be at the end of the term. We don't want it watered down. We don't want it easy. We want it to be basically the same. We look at online learning as really nothing more than a delivery method.
But I think we have to do a better job of also providing seamless services online. And what I mean by that is, again, trying to find a way for us to use our web presence on our websites and, you know, picking the best technologies possible to give students the type of education that they would receive on campus.
How do we bridge the gap between what's the comfort level for the faculty as opposed to what's the comfort level for the students? And so what we encourage the faculty to do is to meet the student halfway and then ask the student to meet them halfway so that there's a comfort zone in the between the two levels, between the faculty and the student.
You know, all the different social medias, each one of them have their strengths, and if we could bring the power of all of them into something that was universal, I think we would be very far ahead in communicating.
Students are looking for some sort of push-down communication that's going to come to the communication technology that they're currently using. So whether it's coming down to their cell phone or it's a post on Facebook to them, that they can be reminded that they have different things that they need to do in the course management system. A lot of students have problems managing their time. And so as a fully online instructor, you're really trying to help them and support them in self-managing. And so by using some of these tools and implementing them, we're able to do that better.
We are still in the early stages of understanding technology and the human interaction with technology. So anytime the technology gets in the way of our human connection with our teacher, with our fellow learners, that's an obstacle.
One of the things we talk with faculty about is the style of today's generational learner, or the millennial learners, the fact that they are comfortable utilizing technology. They are not experts in technology. They're comfortable using technology. So just to think that you can throw a tool out there and everybody's going to be savvy with it is not necessarily true.
We wanted to build in collaboration, so we use discussions very heavily. And so discussions, threaded conversations, every course should have a piece of discussion, and that discussion should be meaningful. And kind of the philosophy we've had is said, okay, watch what the students are saying, watch what the students are doing, and be very careful, because as soon as an instructor comes in, even if they're playing the devil's advocate, the students almost think that that's the right answer. So the instructor has to kind of sit back and know when to enter the conversation.
The same things we seek in our students, they're seeking in us, that we be flexible, not take ourselves too seriously, mm-hmm. give ourselves time to fit into the environment.
We have a philosophy in our design center that we don't teach tools, we use tools to teach. In this day and age, the world is open to us.
Tanya Justin, Robert Morgan, Kelvin Bentley, Kathleen Seville, and Shannon Field. You can find longer versions of these interviews by visiting our podcast page at www.educause.edu/podcasts. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to find out more about the peoples and stories you heard on today's episode, you can visit our show notes at www.educause.edu/now. You can also subscribe to our podcast feed by visiting that page or by searching for EDUCAUSE on iTunes. I'm Jerry Bain. Thanks for listening.